Hello and welcome to the Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts, Sam and Cabrini Greco, coming to you live from beautiful planet Earth. Throughout our conversation, we will be covering topics such as spirituality, global consciousness, metaphysics, and where you think we're truly headed. We have a great show to share with you today, so bookmark us and receive reminders. And you can visit our website at alltruenatural.com.
Good evening and welcome to Creative Consciousness Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We are so glad and pleased to be with you this evening. Today is June 16th, 2015, and we have an incredible show coming your way. We'd like to say hello to everyone on planet Earth, and we want to thank every individual that is in our chat room holding the space. We want to let you know that you can freely call into our show by calling directly 267-521-0151 and listen to our show on your cell phone, on your home phone. If you want to talk directly with us and our guests this evening, you would just clearly just press 1 and then you would be live on the air with us. We are having a spiritual event, and this spiritual event is about really bridging the gap in the spiritual community and the community at large. We are offering this event in Las Cruces, New Mexico, at the Las Cruces Convention Center. We are inviting 350 individuals to come forth and to be with us. As we bridge the gap between us and therefore bridge the gap in the world at large. We have incredible dancers, individuals that are going to be offering their gifts through speaking about consciousness. We have individuals that are going to be offering workshops. We have a musician, a one-man jam man, Cornflower. We have about 15 different vendors. It's going to be an incredible evening. August 1st, 2015, the Fluid Experience. And there's going to be a great deal of celebration and collaboration that's going to take place that's really going to support humanity as a whole. So we welcome you to join us, and you can be with us and purchase your tickets to come and support our event. We are a nonprofit agency organization. Our organization is One Heart, One Love, One Spirit, and we are incorporated. We are devoted to education in promoting awareness as a key to harmonious living. Our show here, Creative Consciousness, is a platform in which we bridge the gap within the community of those individuals that are living spiritually purposed lives. And so this evening, we have an incredible guest, and we're actually just waiting for him. We have some difficulty. Again, this show is just almost typically known for electronic and electrical interference. So we're just waiting for him to call in. But with that, I'm going to go ahead and play some music by Jim Wafer. And Jim is a bell drum creator and player, and he actually created this song for our show. So just sit back, folks, and get ready to experience some new information that Bill Murphy will be bringing forth this evening. We'll be right back. Okay, well, welcome back to Creative Consciousness Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio. As I was saying, we are so thrilled to be with you this evening. We have an incredible show lined up for you and an incredible guest. And at this point, I'm going to turn the mic over to my incredible husband, who will be interviewing our guest and introducing him today. Hi, Sam. The mic is all yours.
All right. Thank you, Cabrini, for a great introduction. And we solved our issue with the technicalities. And so here we are on our guest this evening. Our guest's name is Bill Murphy. He's the author of Driving with Brakes On, Energy Healing Consciousness. Please welcome our guest this evening, Bill Murray. Bill has always been interested in our spiritual essence, our spiritual paths, what happens after death, and why we might decide to return to physical form. He briefly studied religion in college, along with other spiritual belief systems. He has always had strong interest in learning about phenomena shrouded in mystery, such as the Bermuda Triangle, Atlantis, the pyramids, ET civilizations, life force, and other subjects. Bill has pursued many different activities. He took a long break from college to pursue a passion of skiing and wound up on the professional freestyle skiing tour. After that, he became involved in aviation, became a flight instructor, charter and cargo pilot, and eventually a corporate jet pilot. Also became interested in the financial markets and became a stock in 1983. Throughout his time, however, Bill has maintained a strong passion for the spiritual aspects of life and continued exploring healing energy, consciousness, and other metaphysical subjects. He has also relied on his own observations and experiences in his continuing quest for answers to the spiritual question of life. Bill is continuing his spiritual journey, writing as he goes along. He is the author of the Amazon best-selling book, Driving with Your Brakes On. He is working on two more books. Visit Bill at www.highmesallc.com or Facebook, Drive With Brakes On. All right, so here we are. After this brief introduction, we're going to start asking our questions to our dear friend Bill. And Bill, can you hear us? And welcome to the show.
Yes, I can hear you just fine. And can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you just fine.
Okay, good. And thanks for having me.
All right. So tell us a little bit about, you know, it looks like you've always had a interest in the metaphysical, despite your professional, you know, different careers. Is this accurate?
Yes, it is. I've always had a lot of interest in it. It started really before college, and I was reading books like Psycho-Cybernetics and the Bermuda Triangle books and things like that, because I was like, even Edgar Cayce, I was a little bit briefed with him. My mother was actually interested in Edgar Cayce, and I just kind of had a feeling that I'd been here before, and I was wondering why I'm here now. So this has just has been a constant interest in, like, why are we here? What are we doing? Where do we go after we die? Because, you know, we're energy, and energy changes form, but it doesn't go away. It doesn't just stop existing. So,
Were you asking these questions when you were very young, and or what kind of age were you when you first?
I was probably in junior high, and then into high school, and then college.
That's great.
It just continued. So, I'd say it really started in probably my junior year of high school, and then I started getting more and more interested in, like, how can I find this out? I was always interested in that kind of thing. You know, books that talked about things that couldn't really be explained on Earth, like underwater cities and the Nazca
line.
They're
such intriguing topics.
That. Yeah. You know, very interesting. Very interesting stuff.
Okay, well, you're living a spiritually purposed life. You know, you're writing books. You know, you have a bestseller on Amazon. Congratulations, by the way. I want to commend you for listening to yourself and following through. You know, the inspiration. I'm sure the book was inspiration driven. And
it definitely was. Yep.
Can you take us through that a little bit about that inspiration? How all of a sudden you started taking on a book? Your kind of decision on into doing that?
Yeah, I can actually do that. I was going to write a totally different book. I've always had an interest in writing as well, and I had started journaling years and years ago because my life had changed remarkably, or just basically taken a sudden change, as lives do sometimes. Your circumstances change, who you're around changes, things like that. And so I just thought it would be a good idea to journal. And so I just started doing that. And then I was originally going to write a book on the market, things like that, because I was always interested in that. But I was living near Sedona, and we lived near Sedona for about almost 7 years. And there was a writing coach up there who would do these seminars, and he's a very famous writing coach named Tom Bird. And so I went to one of his seminars and decided to do the retreat. And so I did the retreat, where you sit down and you just write like a crazy person for a weekend without looking at what you're writing or really paying much attention to it, and certainly not trying to evaluate it as you go along. You just want to get the thought out of your head, like kind of basically, listening to the universe and have those thoughts pass through you onto the page. And so I did that. And, he said, yeah, a lot of people come here and they don't know what they're going to write about. And I had thought that I was going to write about one thing, but I really wanted to just tell people what I've learned, some of the stuff that I've observed over the years and some of the stuff that I've discovered. So that's how I decided to write this book and why it became what it was. That's the kind of the simple story of it.
Well, it's a beautiful thing that you follow through with all that. And, you're living a spiritually purposed life. You're being aware. And let's get into, helping others. How can we practice doing that? How can we? Do you have any practical advice into living a spiritually purposed life?
Well, first of all, you have to, be curious. So the real purpose of the book was to get people not to do anything, but get people to start thinking about, well, what if I did that? What's that all about? What does that mean? Start having them just have it be a catalyst to their own discovery. So, living a purposely, spiritually purposed life, things like that, if that's something that interests people and they want to know how they can do it, they're probably already doing it, but it really starts with oneself and becoming more aware of oneself and your own abilities. And so I use, I've done a lot of meditation and things like that, but the biggest thing that I've done is along with the meditation, is do a lot of reading. And I read things that I have been guided to read. I could go into a bookstore or hear about something, and it's really interesting how one thing will lead to another, and you'll just reach the conclusion, that's the book I'm supposed to read. Years ago, I read the first Celestine Prophecy book, and I finished it up.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Because somebody said, you should read this book. And I went out and I read it and I thought, God, this is pretty good. And I knew there was another one and I couldn't find it. So I was in visiting someone in Park City and I went into this bookstore, and it was a little tiny bookstore. And I was walking around in there trying to look for this book and I couldn't find it. And so there was this easy chair, and I just turned around and I sat down in this easy chair, and then 6 feet in front of me was the next book. The Celestine Prophecy, the second book. Oh, there it is. Things like that. Pay attention to things like that. The synchronicities that happen.
Bill, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you ran across these experiences with these books, was this in the 1990s?
Oh, no, this was after 2000. This was probably after 2000. So I have been started reading like in the late, some of these books I've been reading books all along, but I just kind of go through different phases and accumulate this knowledge and interest in a certain area. And then I'll just like something in one book will lead me to another one.
I remember in the 90s, there was a big rush with books, and it happened to me as well. You know, one moment it was the Celestine Prophecy, and then the next time it would be the Pleiadians, and the next time it would be the ancient Mayans. It was incredible the way books can affect us.
Oh yeah. You know, the other thing I find is that I'll go to a bookstore. I used to, when you could go to bookstores, that there were more of them around. You know, I'd go in and I'd just, like, this book would just, particular book would just speak to me, and I had to buy it. And so I'd buy a book and take it home, and then for some reason I wouldn't read it. I'd stick it on my bookshelf, and sometimes 2 years later I would read that book, and it was exactly the right time, you know, to read that particular book. It's really funny how that works. So the whole purpose of my book was really to get people to be aware of their journey, pay attention to day-to-day life. What's happening? What are you thinking? What you know, what are you interested in? Is there a spiritual push to something you're interested in? And how are you actually following through with that? A lot of times you'll get a message over and over again about something you should be doing. And are you paying attention to that? Are you listening to that? You know, and how are you listening to it? And what do you do with it?
Sure. I guess asking these universal questions, when we ask them, in those moments, just to take the time in those moments, we could be young, or we could be in our middle age, or we could be old, and asking these questions, in those moments, we're taking on our spiritual path right then and there. So one thing came out that you said was listening to yourself. So let's get into the aspect of self-dialogue. How would this affect our vibration, Bill?
Well, self-dialogue is a really big thing, because when you go through, I mean, pretty much everybody, whether they admit it or not, they talk to themselves. You know, I mean, we all talk to ourselves, and you kind of, it's like running through a thought process and listening to it, getting another input. So self-dialogue is something that gets cultivated, and it gets cultivated, either you cultivate it or our society helps cultivate it for us. Like, we can all go back when we were younger and we can recite all these advertising slogans and things like that.
Sure.
Might be, you know, be able to recite some things teachers told you, billboards and things like that. So that's an example, like, and particularly pharmaceutical ads. If you look and see pharmaceutical ads and shows everybody having a really good time and, you know, suggesting, you know, to check with your doctor to see if this is right for you. Well, those are very suggestive. So you can pick up self-dialogue from the news, from the TV. I really try to stay away from TV entirely, because you can pick up the self-dialogue, and then you'll start recycling some of these statements without really paying attention to what you're doing. Like, I would, you know, and it kind of forms who you are, and you're the one doing it.
It affects the personality.
Well, yeah, it does. It actually forms it. So
sure.
I think it's really important to listen to what you're saying to yourself. You know, you go, you know, I'm just, all these lights are always red when I go this way, especially when I'm late. You know, that's kind of a truth you're putting out into the universe.
Indeed.
And in the book, I talk about some experiments where, and this is really coming out now with quantum physics, that when you look at something, it affects the outcome of that. So, you know, Wayne Dyer, I watched him on a TV show one time, and he said something, and he said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Sure.
Well, in the, you know, physics is one of these things where something would happen when nobody was paying attention, but when the energy of observation was put on those things, then the particular experiment turned out differently. And this is, I'm referring to the two-slit experiment, which is very famous. It's been in a bunch of different books, and where these physicists observed that watching energy particles change from a particle to a wave behavior, and the thing that seemed to influence it was somebody observing it. So I think what we're discovering is that our powers of observation, that's energy. You know, when you're perceiving something, you're looking at something, you're putting energy, you're exchanging energy with that. And that affects what you're looking at. So if this is the way that we program our lives, And my whole point in the book, one of the other things is like, how are we doing that where we're not really paying attention? We're not paying attention to the instructions that we're telling ourselves. We're not really paying attention. It turns into something we repeat over and over again, and then it becomes true. And we see things in our environment that, you know, make that confirm that that's true. But actually, it's we start seeing things because we put that thing there. We put that statement there first. You know, the saying, I'll believe it when I see it, it should actually be, I'll see it when I believe it. So we come to believe these things, and this is the role of inner dialogue, so just pay attention to what we're saying to ourselves. I think that's very important.
So, yeah, there's two strands to this. One is how society steers us, and then the mm-hmm. other strand is how our inner self steers us.
Exactly. And they're not driving in the same direction. You know, we have this, society tells us that we're supposed to go to school, learn this, learn a trade, go to work all this time, put money away for retirement, retire, mm-hmm. and move to Florida or whatever. You know, in other words, we get a lot of steering from our society that really doesn't have anything to do with maybe why you decided to incarnate here this time. You know, why did we come
right.
here? What are we doing here? And so if we go into agreement with that, and there's so much agreement in the neighborhood, I mean, everybody gets up and they drive to work, and you have traffic jams, and everybody eats lunch at the same time. And I mean, it's amazing. You know, we're just kind of herded around, and really we start to accept it. That's the way it is. Get used to it, you know, deal with it, blah, blah, blah. And really it kind of stems from this inner dialogue that nobody has really questioned or looked at to any real degree.
Is there ways to improve the power of our observations, our visualizations? Are there ways?
Well, yeah, I think for visualization, I think that the important thing is to, first of all, write it down and get a good picture of it. What does it feel like? What does it look like? What are the senses surrounding it? And just live that without paying any attention to whether you have it or not, or how am I going to get there? I don't know how that's ever going to happen, so it probably won't happen, that kind of thing. That kind of dialogue disrupts the whole process. It will still work to some degree, but you just diluted it immensely. One of the examples I've given. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and of course, the material world will respond accordingly to what you're thinking.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, it does.
Yeah.
You know, everything, if you look around the room you're in right now, no matter where you are, everything that's there was an idea first. Somebody had the idea
sure.
for a printer or a bookshelf or a speaker or whatever. That was an idea, and somebody created it. They acted on that idea, and it became a thing. So thoughts do become things. And it's very interesting because what I was going to say is I had an experience when I was a flight instructor. And when you're a flight instructor and you want to work for the airlines or you want to fly a bigger airplane, nobody will let you fly a bigger airplane because you don't have any experience in it. So you can't get any experience because nobody will let you get any experience. So a lot of those catch-22 things in our society. But one activity that I did quite a bit was when I had no students, I would go up to the sales department and I would grab the keys to a couple of twin-engine airplanes and I'd just go sit in them. They were for sale. I would just sit in those things, in those airplanes, for an hour at a time sometimes, just imagining what it would be like to fly, how free it would be to just have it be me and the airplane having to fly somewhere for some reason. And I did that repeatedly for months, probably 3 to 4 months. And within 5 months, there were two or three different circumstances that arose where I was the only available pilot to fly that airplane. One of those two airplanes was being looked at by a potential buyer somewhere. So I had to fly it somewhere by myself, exactly as I envisioned. when I was sitting there visualizing, I never thought, oh, this will never happen. I don't know why I'm doing this. I just was into the pure joy of the idea of that. And that's how it works best, right? So I'm not tearing it down as I'm building it.
Yeah, that's right. It's a straight path to that manifestation. And I know the way it works for me is I will have the same experience. You know, I like flying too, and I would do that. And I'm just giving that would be a hypothetical, but my hypothetical would be that, you know, I would instead of acquiring the airplane, I would experience flying it like you did.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, because it's just like when there's stuff that I in the past that I would like to have happened, and they did happen, but instead of acquiring it or obtaining it in ownership, I experienced those things.
Yes, and then there are no other encumbrances. You just get the sheer joy of that thing, that activity. Yep.
Yeah.
You know,
so that's one of the things that you pull in experiences in your life, and with this wisdom, here we are steering our lives.
Exactly, and we steer our lives either we're paying attention or we're not.
Right.
And so the whole idea behind effective visualization and effective living really is becoming more and more aware of being in the moment. So many times we are not in the moment. We are thinking about what we have to do tomorrow, or we have to get that done, or this done, or that thing. And we don't really pay attention to where we are right now. And one exercise that I really like to do, and I find it very effective, is if you're just sitting in a chair or if you're standing up, you think of how many particular points you can feel your body and feel the environment and perceive the environment. Like, you can feel your feet. You can feel, if you're sitting in a chair, you can feel what the chair feels like. You can feel, if you have socks on, you can feel that. You can feel the perception of light around you, the sound level, probably the humidity level. In other words, there are all these perceptions and all these the things that are going on every single second that you could be aware of if you had your attention on it. So the only real moment that ever exists is right now. So what you'll find is the people that do really well at things are able to focus and exclude basically everything else but what they're doing at the moment. So you could be doing the dishes. You could practice this.
Yeah.
It's a matter of practicing. What I have found, at least for me, is it's not the destination. It's a continuing journey, and your level of competence just continues to get better and better as you formulate these habits. And sometimes you go, well, I could never do that. I could never do the item that I've named or whatever. But you can learn about it, and then you can start doing it just a tiny bit at a time. And that's a way you can actually change your belief about something. Is you can start to have somewhat of a success. And realize this. When you see a gymnast in the Olympics, at one point in their life, they could not even do a somersault. They couldn't do anything. But they started, and maybe they learned a somersault. Maybe they learned, you know, and gradually they learned more and more and more. And then you can come to believe it because you're seeing it happen, and then it becomes a manifested reality with you. It becomes very real to you that you can do that. Then you can start to steer away from the belief that you'll never be this or that. You know what I mean? That's something that's really worked for me.
Yeah, that's really good and wise, you know, advice, and you know, and good, you know, it's good wisdom. You know, I also recall, you know, even if we look at our past, and we did manifest, you know, good outcomes, heartful outcomes, and, you know, we can look at what happened with our heartful desire for it actually manifested, our focus on a certain thing. We can also look at our past as well too, to give examples of how we can, you know, steer our future.
Yeah, I mean, the basic thing is what would you like to be? What would you like to be doing in a certain period of time, within a certain period of time? And for me, the time isn't necessarily the most, you know, it's easy for us to go, well, you'll never make that. I mean, it's easy to do that.
Yeah.
But if you just draw a picture of where you'd like to be, and the other day I did this, I imagined a giant door frame, like the kind you'd see when you were walking from, you know, a room into a living room or something like that, where you would see another room. And I was in this room, and I just imagined walking into this other room, and this other room had a lot more light in it. And when I walked into there, I was doing the thing that I wanted to be doing. I was, you know, that was the life that I had imagined. So it's very important to put out the life that you imagine that you really want to have, and then pull it back to say, okay, so if I was going to be this, how would I do that? And you would come up with something, and you'd say, okay, well, how would I do that? And you just break it down to a step that you can take today, or this week, or this month, or this year, and figure out what steps those could be, those particular things. The first step is probably learning about it. Do I really want to do that? And here's another thing that's really important. Sometimes you'll decide, oh, I want to be this or I want to be that, and you'll start off on that and discover after you get there or get well along the way to getting there that that's just not going to work at all. You didn't realize what that would really be like. You had an idea of what it would be like. Maybe if you wanted to be a doctor, or maybe if you wanted to be a lawyer or an engineer or something else. And then when you find out, you get along the path and you jump somewhat and you find out, this is not at all what I expected. I don't think I would be happy doing that. That experience is not wasted. You've learned something, and you've learned something you didn't want to do. So never be down on yourself for that, because you've learned something, you've gained something, and at some point in your life, what you learned will come in handy. There's probably a reason why you went down that path as far as you did before deciding you didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's good to just realize that it's a journey. Now, sometimes you turn, if you have a GPS device, you know how this works. Sometimes you make the wrong turn, and it wasn't necessarily what you'd planned on doing, but you did, and so you just get back on course, that's all.
Absolutely. And also, you know, letting go of outcome, the idea of outcomes,
yeah.
You know, you can take on that type of thinking as well. And it's actually a, you know, freeing type of feeling to let go of outcomes.
It's definitely a freeing feeling. If you can let go, you put the intention there, you do the work, and you just let go of the outcome. So
enjoy the process.
Exactly. Enjoy the process. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride.
Now, that's where it's
such
at.
That's such a big point to pay attention to. Definitely.
Hey, Bill, you want to get into some of the interests that you had along your way in your journeys, your spiritual interests, such as life after death and reincarnation? So you want to get into something like that?
Sure. Yep.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me let us know how this actually happened and the interest you took into this life after death.
Well, my first thing was that my mom had read this book by Edgar Cayce called Many Mansions. And I guess I did read that book, but it was a really long time ago. But he talked about living, and he would go into hypnosis, of course. If you know Edgar Cayce, he would become hypnotized, and he would go back and he would do readings for people. And he did amazing healings because he basically disconnected from the physical aspect and moved into a higher plane and connected to a bigger source of information without all the the physical things that exist, you know, when you're trying to just sit in your chair and recall something. But so I was very interested in it because it didn't seem like you would only have one life and that would be it. And it didn't really seem to me like you would go to heaven and just hang out there for the rest of eternity either. It just
Was this when you were very young? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, I was probably in high school when I was starting to think about this.
Okay.
But even younger, I kind of didn't agree. Even I remember being like 10 or 11 years old and not really agreeing that it just didn't seem correct to me. And I really didn't have enough experience. It didn't seem correct to me that someone would die and just not ever be around again.
Yeah, I just kind of, that really resonates with me because I remember thinking that also when I was very young. And I think it has to do with, you know, ourselves being in touch with our true eternity in that young age. I mean, we're so young, we're very much in touch with our eternity. So the aspect of dying just does not make sense.
Exactly. The closer you are to birth, I mean, you've just come from the other world. You just kind of moved through the birth canal, but you were hanging around for a while, and then you were born into a body, and then you begin your life. You know, it's very interesting. There's two books that really resonate with me that I've read. One of them is called Journey of Souls, and the other is called Destiny of Souls. And they're
great
by
books.
Michael Newton. Yeah. Have you read them?
Oh, yeah. Great, great books.
Yeah, they're
fantastic.
And I became, you know, those are two books that I've read years ago, but I really, really resonate. I see things every day that remind me of points that he brought up in those books from those sessions. And so I just started seeing this kind of activity where I would run into somebody and I go, that person is so familiar, but I've never met them before. But I know them. And it's like you sit down or you talk to them for 5 minutes and it seems like you're old friends, like you've been old friends for a long time. And you probably have, just not this time around. So I became very interested in that whole thing. And I talk about this, like, you know, cite this one experience in my book. I had an experience. I've had numerous out-of-body experiences, but this was one that was very interesting. I was working construction. I was young, irresponsible. Not totally irresponsible, but somewhat. I was working outside all day, and I came home, and I drank, you know, I drank basically a quart of beer, and I just went to bed. I was so tired. It was hot. I'd been finishing concrete in the summer, saving up for my season pass for skiing. But I went to bed, and I was sleeping down in we had a bedroom down in the basement because it was cooler, and I got up really early, so I didn't want to wake up my wife and my two kids when I got up that early. So I got up in the middle of the night because I had to go to the bathroom because I drank all that beer. I ran up the steps, and I felt very lightheaded because I had had no dinner, and I just, boom, fell over, passed out.
Wow.
And I guess it made quite a noise, and my wife at the time got up and went in and saw me just laying there, and she was on the phone. She was calling 911, and
wow,
kids were crying and everything, and I was right behind her. Well, my body was in the other room, but I was right behind her, and I was hearing what she was saying on the phone.
Wow.
And I was going, what is everybody, it's the middle of the night, you guys just go back to bed, what's the problem? And then I... boom, I woke up. I was in the other room on the floor, and I woke up, and, you know, then it was over. But that experience really stuck with me because it was so vivid. I could see what was happening. I could hear what was happening. I could hear what was being said and understand it. So at that point, I went, you know what? When this body goes, I'm not going to go. I'm still here. Me, the consciousness, and what I've learned is probably going to go somewhere else. And I've just had so many experiences with people that have moved on where you have communication with them.
Sure.
At a later point, you know, you get a really strong image of them and you feel like you can talk to them. And I believe, I mean, there's so many experiences like that, so many experiences that people have. You start looking on the internet for near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, and people's accounting of what happened is very fascinating. And it just pretty much validates everything that I've learned and felt all along. But here's the problem. It's very difficult to prove something non-physical with physical restrictions,
right,
on how you verify something. You know, if you're going to verify something that's non-physical, but you can only do it if it says it's so on this machine or that machine or whatever, then it can be pretty interesting to prove that. So I think science, in many cases, is so far behind current thought. Not all, but there's definitely a good old boys network there. You don't want to rock the boat or you get ostracized. Or, I mean, that's always been the way of history, right? You look at some of the great scientists that were like either thrown out of the village or put to death for coming up with these ideas that the Earth is not flat. Stuff like that. It's like, wow.
So what's your case. So Bill, can you tell us what happens after death?
Well, I think, you know, I'm not
What's
really positive. I think my thought is that you actually go somewhere and you hook up with other beings that you've hooked up with before that are in your soul group. The Destiny of Souls and those books really kind of go through life between lives. And I remember doing a life between lives regression by somebody that was trained by Michael Newton. And I left the body during a death, and I went to another place, and it just felt like home. And it was, you know, it had images and things, but it was, I was with other beings.
Wow.
And these other beings were just, I recognized them by their light. Some were like different colored light. And
wow,
it was a matter of learning things and going through things to decide whether you were going to go back some other time. But it was like, I believe that life is a complete circle, and you live part in the physical and you live part in the non-physical, and then you come back into the physical, and you don't have to. At some point you'll go, hey, I'm done. But I think that's what happens. I think we go back and we hook up with people that we know and people that we can learn from, and these would be spirits, souls. And we just kind of go to a spiritual university, and we learn more about ourselves. We review what we did, how we did, what we learned, what we didn't learn, what we could have done better. And I believe that by experiencing things in life, things is, you take that with you. So when you come back, you know, you look at somebody who's in a wheelchair that's had birth defects since they were, you know, since they were born. Right? And somebody wanted to experience what that's like. Somebody wanted to experience what it's like to be ostracized by society, or what it's like to be a leader, what it's like to be, you know, a leader that's not liked, or a leader that's loved, or a spiritual leader, or something like that. So people come, and I think they take that experience, and then you can understand it. If you can really understand it, then when you come back at another time, then you can look at somebody that's having a really rough time and you go, that guy's on that path for that particular lifetime. And I don't know why he picked that. It's not really up to me, but there's some reason that he did. Maybe he's going to impact someone else's life in a way that needs to be impacted in a certain way to improve that person's life. So there are so many things, but I just know that everything is connected. And if you look at nature and you look at us and you look at the planet, there's so many things that just fit together. So what doesn't fit is the whole routine of getting in your car, going to work, making money, you know, and doing all that. And then that's like not, you know, that's just not what it is.
It's very unnatural. It's very unnatural to feel that. I like what you said about life being a cycle where sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's not non-physical, That's very well put. Let's get back to your. I just want in the last few minutes here. I want to get back to your book, and I'm really intrigued by the title, Driving with the Brakes. Yeah, Driving with the Brakes On. Tell us a little bit on how that came about and how that represents the book.
Well, I was going to call the book Thought Structures. I thought that's a pretty good thing because thought structures are things that we put up, the structures of a way that are filters from experiences that we have, inner dialogue that we put up there that we're not paying attention to, and we build this filtering system for everything that happens to us. And so I was going to call it thought structures. And then one morning, you know, when you're sleeping and you haven't quite gotten up yet, you haven't fully awakened, you're kind of in between sleep and you're in between being awake.
Yeah.
And you're kind of in a different state. Mm-hmm. And I got this clear message that said, change the title of your book to Driving with the Brakes On. And I just went, that's brilliant. Because people have to remember a title and they have to wonder about what it's about. But everybody knows that Driving with the Brakes On is stupid. But, I was like, hey, I've done this so much in my life with things in my life. I'm driving with the brakes on in my life. So I kind of decided that would be a good title for people to kind of get a picture of what it's about. Like, well, nobody would think twice. Of course, that's stupid to do that. But well, it's also stupid to tell yourself you're no good at math over and over until you actually believe it.
You
know? Yeah. So I kind of came up with that as a good title. Thought that would be a little catchier than thought structures when I looked at it.
And so take us a little bit. Can you summarize the book for us a little bit here for the listeners?
Sure. The book basically talks about experiences that I've had. It goes into a little bit about visualization, how to make it more effective, and gives some examples of how I've done it and how they worked well and how they didn't sometimes and what was going on. But it really gets into how we steer ourselves and how we get a little help from society on steering ourselves. We get help from our parents. We get help from TV and all these other forces, and we take on little points of information. And a lot of times we don't even see or hear that information, but on some level we're perceiving it. And I also get into the fact that with all the microwave radiation that's going on, the cell phone information, the amount of information that is flowing through our airwaves at any given time, we can actually pick up on some of that. So you can pick up ideas that aren't even yours to think about, well, where did I get that idea? What's wrong with me? Right? And off you go. So the book is about how we do that without really paying attention and how you can stop doing that. And it gives some pointers on how to kind of redirect yourself back to being in a little better control of that. And that's really what it's about. But it also gives numerous examples, scientific and just from my own observation, about how these ideas are true and how they work. So I had a great time writing it, and, the whole idea behind it is like, okay, understand that this can happen. It does happen. Go look in your life and see if it's happened. Here's how you can fix it. And how about starting on your own journey? What sounds great to you to read, to go find out about? What are you curious about? Go there. Go find out about it. And that will lead you to something else. So it's kind of a catalyst to your own spiritual journey with understanding a few things to get you ready to take that journey, like what to do, what not to do, and just be a little bit more aware of the programs that we run on ourselves.
So. And there's always that effect you have on other people's lives as you take on your spiritual journey. All of a sudden you start getting into your gifts. For some is writings, for some is science itself, for some, it could be the next brilliant scientist that could, discover something that could change our society for the better. You know, we get into our gifts when we take on, you know, when the heart meets the mind, and those two elements of our physical self, you know, and our spiritual self starts harmonizing, and, you know, away we go in this 3D reality. And, you know, it can be very beneficial, not only to the individual who takes on a spiritual purpose life or a heartfelt purpose life, but it's also a benefit for the people surrounding this individual.
Absolutely it is. Yeah. Absolutely. And the other thing that it does is it gives someone else an example to look at.
Sure. Absolutely.
They can look at that and they can go, how did you do that? And it just, you know, the other point is it just stabilizes the environment. If you look at it, the environment is just people and things. But if the people themselves are more self-aware and more tolerant of others because they realize, hey, that guy there, he's being a real jerk. But I don't have any idea what he went through this morning. I don't know what's going on in his life. Maybe he's supposed to be that way so that he understands how people react to him as a result. So he could be teaching me, I could be teaching him. We're all in this together. And I think if we all had a bigger understanding of that we're on paths, we will have a great effect on this earth. There's so much energy coming into earth that it's just phenomenal, phenomenal what's happening.
Well, Bill, you know, lastly, thank you for being on the show. And I have one last question for you before I hand over the mic to Cabrini. What is your message to humanity?
I'd say learn to love yourself, trust yourself, pay attention to the present moment, and do what you can to help others if you are so inclined to do it. But make sure that you help yourself as well, because somebody who's not doing particularly well isn't going to be a great help to others. So realize that you are vitally important, and that we all have abilities that we never even dreamed of. So I would hope that people would start to discover those abilities and learn how to enhance them, learn how to develop them in whatever way they find best works for them. Because you are the guru. We all are gurus inside. We have everything we need, but we have to learn how to bring it out. So all of us can do that. That's half the fun of getting up every day. It's like, what am I going to do today to learn something, to make myself better, or to help myself become what I can become? So that's my message. You can do it.
Well, there you have it, folks. Bill Murphy with us, and it was a great interview today. We'd love having you again on the show, Bill. And we can talk on other subjects as well. Right now, I'm going to go on a little break, and I'm going to hand over the mic to my lovely wife, Cabrini. One moment, folks.
Thank you.
While we take a short break, please take a moment to bookmark our Creative Consciousness Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio. If you're living a spiritually purposed life and want to connect and co-create with others in the spiritual community at large, become a member of Ultra Natural Cooperative. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter, and for more information, visit our website at alltruenatural.com, promoting awareness as a key to harmonious living.
Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you for listening to our short advert there. And Bill, this has been an incredible experience with you this evening. Thank you so much for sharing your beautiful knowledge. I find it's been very liberating listening to you, and you have a really wonderful way of conveying, you know, the simplicity of, you know, this natural process of awakening that the team of humanity per se is going through. Wouldn't you say that there is some sense of awakening that's happening to individuals?
Oh, it's massive. It's totally massive, and thank you so much for having me. I always like to talk about this, but there's so much happening right now. The energy is coming. Transformation is here. It really is. So let let the old things fall away, the old habits, the old thought structures. You'll see that you're changing. You know, write a journal every day and keep track of what you see and what you feel. You'll be surprised if you look back at it 6 months from now.
Well,
I think everybody's awesome.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're so appreciative of you sharing your knowledge here on Creative Consciousness Radio Show. Folks, we're on every Tuesday and Thursday evening from 7 to 8. We do slot out a time for an hour and a half, and we do that just in case we have a stream of callers that are calling in. But naturally, our show runs for 1 hour twice a week, and we also offer a Sunday morning show, and that runs 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time twice a month. Thank you for being with us here today. You can visit Bill Murphy's website at www.highmesalic.com. Visit our website as well at all. Well, actually, we've transferred from an alltruenatural.com, and we are now a nonprofit, which I'm so thrilled to be. And our new website is oneheartoneloveonespirit.org. And you can go ahead and you can visit our website, look at the events that we're having, and also you can make a contribution to our work. We are here to assist humanity, and we do promote awareness as a key to harmonious living. And the way that we do that is that we host individuals that are living purposed lives spiritually, and they bring forth their knowledge, their education, their experience, and their wisdom to you, our listener, so that you can better acquaint yourself with who you are as an individual. Thank you again, Bill. We're going to be just kind of streaming off here in just a few minutes, and we will be playing a little music from Jim Wafer. And we use Jim Wafer's song because he actually made the song for our radio show. He's a bell drum maker out of New Zealand, and he does bell drums. And he's got a beautiful conscious creation song for us to listen to. Have a wonderful evening, Bill. I'm going to put you on hold for just a few moments as we say goodnight to our listeners. And we wish you all a very blessed evening and a moment of clarity of yourself and who you are, what you want, and where you want to be. Have a great evening, guys. Good night now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.